Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 205 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist. And joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
I'm Jesse the Terrible Treble Wilson.
Terrible Treble.
I almost said Terrible Tenor.
I like that one, too.
I don't know if I'm a tenor or not.
I think you might be a tenor.
I'm like borderline altissimo.
No. No. You don't have the upper range, sir.
No, I do not. Or the lower range. Or really anything except for what you're hearing now.
Yeah. And like one note higher, one note lower.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, hey, look at me. I'm talking all high. I'm all low guy. And that's about the extent of my range.
There was literally no difference between those two.
You know, it's a nuanced subtlety.
Hey, I'm speaking really high. Hey, I'm speaking really low.
Yeah, I heard that difference.
Okay, cool.
Loud and clear.
Good. That was an instant replay, by the way. We got an instant replay machine. Jesse, how was your week?
Oh, man, I'm working hard.
Yep.
I'm stressed out and I'm tired, but I'm not going to go on any rants.
Okay.
Or raves.
People seem to like them, man.
I'm just gonna relax. I found my chi, my center of calm, and I'm just gonna be all namaste on this motherfucker tonight.
All right. Well, that's great. I had a pretty good week. We found a gaming couple.
Oh, so, rare
transplant gaming couple from Oklahoma. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So they're already homebodies.
Exactly.
They're Oklahoma bodies.
They're Oklahoma bodies. It's always fun. It's funny to me. I found out this week that only 1 in 4 Seattleites are from Seattle. Like,
wow.
Which,
well, that actually doesn't surprise me too much. It's always kind of been like the runaway city, right?
I guess. I mean, and I never really noticed it until I read that stat, but people always ask me where I'm from.
Well, and here's the question. What do they mean when they say from Seattle?
Well, they mean like the Seattle area.
So you would include yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I was at work this week and somebody had a Louisville basketball and I go, "Oh, I like that Louisville basketball." And he's like, "You said Louisville correctly. Where are you from?" And I was like, "I have Sports Center." Well, I don't have Sports Center actually. But I have I participate in the bracket challenge. So anyway,
I probably shouldn't say this, but someone who I might be married to says Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah.
You got to bring the Illinois and bring the Illifunk. So anyway, we have a gaming couple and they came over this weekend. We played some games, played this game.
It's a little weird when you say you have them.
Well, yeah, we have them.
Are they
No, they're locked
free
in our...
to leave your apartment?
No. They're okay. Locked in our storage unit.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
We're bringing them out once a month to play games with us.
Mm-hmm. They're like your gaming gimps.
I don't know. Did we feed them? One of them will eat the other one, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. They got legs still, right?
Yeah.
Because they can just eat their legs. It's not like they're going to use them.
Exactly. They're not going to need their legs.
They're not like your softball slaves.
Anyway, we have this gaming couple, hopefully still, hopefully they don't listen to this, but we played games with them. It was very fun. We played this new game, Quantum, that I procured. Super fun game. Oh my god, this game is so good.
Yeah?
And basically, it's a board game in which you have all of these planets, and you have to mine this resource called Quantum.
Unobtainium.
Exactly. And each planet has a number associated with it, and all of your ships are dice. And depending on which die number your ship is on, it's a different kind of ship. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to orbit planets to put your quantum cubes down. You're trying to blow up other ships to gain dominance in the system, to basically scare some planets into giving you their quantum. And there's a lot of strategic elements to it. It's a very fun game. It's got a lot of moving parts, but it's pretty simple to learn and fun to play. So, and it's got dynamically changing map shapes. So it comes with like 30 different maps, and then from there you can create your own. So it's pretty cool.
Wow.
Highly recommend Quantum.
30 different maps?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Because the map is just made up of a bunch of squares. A bunch of...
And so they tell you how to, like, arrange them.
Right. There's just a sheet.
How many squares do you think?
Oh, there's... well, there's enough to do a 16-square grid and have about half... I'm guessing you have about 32 squares total in the box.
How, like, kind of what size would be, like, a normal...
They're like 4x4 squares.
Okay, so it doesn't take like too long to set up.
No. It doesn't take long at all. And the great thing about it is everybody gets a playmat, and the playmat has all the rules on it. So
you love playmats.
I love playmats, and I love it when all the rules of the game are printed on the game, so
yeah.
That people don't have to keep asking me what the rules are. That's really good.
Look at your playmat! Do you want to go back in your cage?
You know who else looked at their playmat? Your legs. God. So anyway, Quantum is cool. I'm very excited about this gaming group. And the dude might tag along to PAX, because he's never been, and we started talking about it. It's like PAX is right up his alley, so. Right up PAX alley. And so we did that, and then I also got to play some Destiny beta this weekend with Levi.
Oh, what'd you think?
So
what, you played that on the computer?
No, on Xbox 360.
Do you have an Xbox 360?
Yeah. I've had one for about 6 years.
Oh, I just brain farted hard.
No, I know. Yeah. We played on Xbox 360. Not Xbox.
And that's the new one. No. Because it comes, like, the number 360 comes after the number one, right?
Well, you'd think. No, but so we got to play the Destiny beta. We got kicked out and booted a couple times because they were trying to figure out their system loads and that sort of thing for their dedicated servers. But from a gameplay perspective, I really enjoyed it. The way I would describe it is Halo meets Borderlands with a dash of Call of Duty.
That sounds right up yours and Levi's alley.
Yeah, I mean, I love Borderlands. Borderlands is probably my favorite FPS. And, like, it definitely has the elements of every bad guy has a level, and they have a health bar, and they have... And when you shoot them, little numbers fly off of them. And so not all bad guys are created equal, which is pretty much the case in Halo. You know, you had, like, a handful of bad guys, but a bad guy was a bad guy was a bad guy. Here, it's a bad guy level one, bad guy level two, whatever.
Right.
There's, you know, I was concerned that there weren't any vehicles. There are definitely vehicles. In fact, you have an ability to just spawn a vehicle wherever you want it, and you get, like, a little land speeder you could scoot around on, which is kind of cool. There's also three...
Is it a hover round?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see the Grand Canyon?
Yeah. I actually did see something very similar to the Grand Canyon in the game. There's also three character classes. So I was playing the Hunter, which is like the, it's kind of like, you know, it's your stealthy sniper guy. And then
isn't there a Hunter in Borderlands?
I think that there is. There is. So, and then Levi was playing the Titan, I believe is what he was playing. It's like the tank. And then
from Titanfall.
Yeah, exactly. And then...
It's literally a tank.
Yeah. And then the other character is the Warlock, is the other class, which is, like, more magical. You have Cortana in your head, except Cortana is a dude this time, played by Tyrion Lannister.
Really?
Yeah.
Cortano.
And I got to say, it's not Cortana, it's called a ghost, and it follows you around. So it's not in your head this time, it's just following you around wherever you go. But it's really cool. I mean, you could level up your... Levi was also comparing a lot of elements to World of Warcraft. So you can, like, level up your boots, you can level up your chest armor, you can level up your gauntlets, you can level up your helmet, you can level up your weapons. There's a whole slew of guns. You can... We only got to go to Earth and the Moon, but apparently you're going to be able to go to Venus and Mars. So overall, I really actually super enjoyed the play experience. And there was a moment where Levi and I were playing together, we're kind of clearing out this dungeon, if you will. And it became a very tactical thing of, like, me playing my role as a sniper, standing back, doing a lot of damage slowly, and then Levi jumping in and like hacking the guy to death, and we got very similar XP off of doing that. So it was a really dynamic experience, and I feel like lends itself more toward team play than Halo did from a co-op perspective. The question that I had, we did play one PvP match, and the interesting thing here is when you think Bungie, you think PvP. And I feel like they're definitely going toward more of a dungeon crawly co-op game, and they might be straying away from PvP, which is kind of weird to me because it seems like they should play their strength, because PvP is the reason why most people bought the Halo franchise. So,
But I mean, maybe they realize they can't compete with Halo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you watch an Xbox One commercial and it's dominated by Master Chief. Like, even if Bungie creates some great new PvP experience, like, people are just going to buy Halo, so they need to do something different.
I think another aspect of it here is that PvP is ubiquitous. I mean, PvP is everywhere now, and I think they want Destiny to be a game that lives on. And I feel like giving it more of that RPG dungeon crawly co-op experience will allow it to persist, whereas games that are more based off of PvP are getting replaced 2 months later by the next Call of Duty game.
It's very much a flavor of the week.
Right. Or Titanfall comes out, and then Battlefield 3 comes out, and then the next Black Ops game comes out. So like every 2 or 3 months you're getting a new FPS. This is something that people can latch onto and really invest in their characters. So overall, I thought it was very, very good, and I honestly was kind of just going in because Levi wanted to play, and I was mildly curious, and coming out of it, I really like it. I hope we could try it out at PAX. It's going to be coming out in early September.
I like to call it September.
Me too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my week. Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
Oh, man, I thought I was drinking homebrew, but it turns out I'm drinking my Elder God.
Mmm.
So, I'm sorry. I thought I was grabbing a short fill from work.
Right.
But it turns out I'm drinking my homebrew Elder God. Yeah.
Elder God is so good, dude.
And it's super boozy, so it's like, oh, I'm drinking like a really high alcohol beer.
Yeah, dude.
So there is that.
Your Elder God is so good. Last weekend when I was over in Bremerton, I made sure to Bogart that as soon as possible.
No, I know. I saw that.
That bottle. I was like, all right. And Elder God.
I was like, you earned it.
It's delicious. It's like a champagne, but I don't want to call it the champagne of beers because that makes it sound like a Miller High Life. But it
because
really
of
does.
The copyright infringement.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of like a champagne-y beer, but in all the right ways.
Well, it's dry. It's not a very sweet beer. There's not a ton of residual sugar. It's like, you think of champagne, you think of something highly carbonated and dry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a lot of interesting flavors going on with it. So it's kind of a complex beer with a lot of cool flavors, and it's dry, and it's boozy. So, and it's nicely carbonated. So it's champagne-y for sure.
Delicious. Delicious. I'm drinking an Arrogant Bastard. Bastarding the night away here in lovely Seattle. Let's get on to some feedback here. We're going to start off feedback this week with a voicemail. This one comes to us from the 360. Represent. Here it is.
Hi, guys. It's Tina from the greater Seattle area. And I was giving you guys a quick call because I think that you watched The Walking Dead, too. In fact, I'm pretty sure you've mentioned it. And I was reading the Cinema Blend topic, Walking Dead, Season 3, Dish Clementine, and they mentioned that it would be really interesting to go into other areas like Washington, D.C., or Seattle, or Texas, and I thought it was a really interesting concept, and I didn't know if you guys had an opinion of what Seattleite zombie apocalypse survivors would behave like. So, I don't know, if you get a chance or if you want to talk about it, I thought that'd be kind of up your guys' alley. So, have a wonderful day, and I'll listen to you on Thursday. Get off my dock.
Get off my back, Gina. Thanks for calling.
You know, different areas like Seattle or, you know, Texas.
That's kind of our whole demographic, basically.
That's true, but it's like, when we're talking square their mileage,
uh-huh.
the difference between Seattle and Texas is somewhat substantial.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever. Texas is down there, dude. Don't worry about it. No, Gina, thank you for your call. We actually don't list. We don't watch The Walking Dead. Do you watch The Walking Dead?
I watched the first season.
Yeah,
and I read a bunch of the comic books back in like 08.
Yeah, I watched the first season and I read all of the comic books that you had.
Basically. That's right.
You know, we can't cover it any better than Jim and Aaron can on Watching Dead. But
we can
hyperbolize
for the profits of hypothesis.
So yeah, it's interesting. Like, who do you think of the Seattle tropes would survive the zombie apocalypse? I mean, I feel like there's got to be people who just live in Olympic National Park.
Yeah. Okay. So Seattle.
Right.
I have to make it again abundantly clear that I don't and never have self-identified as a Seattleite.
Although you have lived in Seattle.
I only made it like 10 months.
So?
And then I bounced.
You lived, yeah.
All you Seattle guys are dead. You're all dead. You're all zombies. None of you are making
That's
it. Except for, what's that guy's name? Joaquin Phoenix Rising?
What?
The superhero?
Oh, Phoenix Jones.
Phoenix Jones. He's the only one that makes it.
Yeah, Phoenix Jones is just waiting for that day. He's like, he's like the dude standing outside the mall with the end is nigh sign. He's just ready for that to happen. The mm-hmm. zombie apocalypse at any moment.
But here's my question.
Yeah.
Because my natural impulse, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. is hit the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Grab my tent, my camping gear, my trusty tomahawk, and then just go to the mountains. But maybe I would die instantly if I do that.
True.
Because it's like, I'm in the woods now. Oh, look. There was a zombie, and I'm bitten, and I'm dead now.
Well, that's the thing about a city like Port Townsend. I feel like Port Townsend is primed to survive a zombie apocalypse. Because...
I don't know.
Because you have a bunch of boats.
You're right. There's an armada. There's a lot of farmers.
You also have... It's also at the end of the road. So there's only there's only one entry point.
That's true.
And then there's the sea. And you also have a lot of people who are, like, fishermen by trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you can just, you know, reap the benefits of the ocean there.
Right.
You know, set up a blockade around the city. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, there's two types of people in Port Townsend. You either got hippies or you got rednecks. And I feel like that's a great combo.
But here's the problem.
What?
Here's where it all falls apart.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of old people here.
Perfect.
And when it comes to, like, that person's a zombie, that person's not a zombie, sometimes there's a little bit of a gray area when we're talking about, no pun intended, the gray hairs.
That's true. The gray hairia.
They might sneak... zombies might sneak through under the guise of old people.
Hmm.
And then we're in trouble.
Then you're in trouble.
We'll be like, oh, that's just another old person. Oh, they're biting me, and it's not dentures. Uh-oh.
But this is another thing. I mean, Seattle is a bad place to be because population dense. I mean, the zombie plague can spread quickly here. Whereas I feel like living in a small town is very advantageous because you can isolate the zombie problems.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
You should have seen how many people were...
Well,
there were as many people on my bus today as graduated from Port Townsend High School this year. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do feel like small towns have that advantage, though.
Mm-hmm. Small town charm.
Exactly.
We got the Blues Festival coming up, so that'll help.
Right.
Yeah. Then there's always Wooden Boat.
Yeah. I really feel like... The boats are a huge advantage.
Yeah, the Port Townsend Navy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if everything goes to hell, you just take to the seas.
But, yeah, I suck at boats, so.
Well.
It wouldn't be good for me.
Well, you might know some people who have a hookup.
There's zero connection between me and anyone who knows a boat. Boats are like animals, right? You don't own them, you just know them.
Exactly.
You think you got problems trioning a boat, am I right?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, Ballard might be able to...
Oh, no way.
No.
Here's the only chance he got.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Seattleites, as we were talking about in the last episode, are any kind of act like zombies. What? You're staring at your feet, shuffling around.
Right. Shamblers.
Yeah, not making eye contact, mm-hmm. not really engaging in conversation. Right. And as we know from Shaun of the Dead, you can just kind of smear like zombie guts on yourself.
And from first episode of Walking Dead.
Yes, exactly. Yep. You can just kind of smear yourself with zombie guts, and they're like, sniff, 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 you're obviously a zombie. So basically, all Seattleites have to do is smear themselves with zombie guts and act normally, and the zombies will think that they're one of their own.
I like it.
Bus full of survivors is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, thank you, Gina, for that. We got some more feedback this week. Very sensible feedback from Priscilla over in New Jersey. We were talking about last week, Aaron has a clinger, stage 5 clinger, at his apartment complex, and is trying to figure out a way to politely tell this dude to just back off a little bit without hurting his feelings. Priscilla, who is a teacher, which means that she's in many ways a human, a scientist of this human experiment, from the most primal level, before we are programmed with social skills. She's like right in the thick of it down there, with brand new humans. So, she wrote in here. She says, "Hi, this is Scylla, the teacher from good old Newark, New Jersey. I hate my voice on the air, so this is my email. Your voice sounds great, Priscilla. You can call us anytime." She says, "Being a teacher, I deal with this more than I care to say." A lot of stage 5 clingers, apparently, in the kid zone. She says, "Aaron has to tell his neighbor what he wants, but he needs to give him a time and another date. For example," he says, "Hi, today's my family day. I really want to spend some quality time with my son and my lady. Can we chat next Tuesday while I'm finishing up on my bike? Hope that helps." Well, that's actually really helpful.
That sounds like a good actionable piece of advice.
Yeah, just schedule other time. Because then you could totally blow them off, but you're just pushing that, kicking that can down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
But
just pay the minimum payment on that credit card of social awkwardness.
Exactly, because everybody knows just paying the minimum payment usually works out fine for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even try and touch the principal.
I will say, though, that's actually very, very good advice, Priscilla. Thank you for writing in. And then finally, we have a voicemail here from the UK. Here's Sam.
Hey, yo. How are you guys doing? It's Sam from the UK. And wanted to talk to you about the new Walking Dead comic, Volume 21, that's just been released. Although I've collected comics for a long time, I'm kind of just really getting into reading them properly as a regular thing. And I've kind of been going through The Walking Dead and Battlestar Galactica and just starting Avengers v X-Men. But yeah, I can't get enough of The Walking Dead series, and I'm really looking forward to this new volume. So just wanted to know what sorts of comics you guys are into. I know there's been a lot of mention of Saga, which I thought looked really good as well. So, yeah, just wanted some recommendations, see what you guys think. And just to say as well, I really recommend The Walking Dead for anyone who's listening who hasn't read it, because it's just it just feels something so different to other things I've read. So, but yeah, and guys, I wanted to ask you as well, would you be willing to take people's messages and do kind of like what they do at the beginning of Jackass? So, for instance, I would start off by going, "Hey, I'm Eric Walquist, and welcome to Personal Arrogance." And, you know, obviously the same we could also do, "I'm Jesse Wilson, and welcome to Personal Arrogance." Well, anyway, let me know what you think. All right, thanks, guys, and stay off my ridgeback.
Stay off my ridge back.
That was vaguely insulting to me.
Why?
Hi, hey, I'm Jesse Wilson. It's again, no, it's the voice thing.
It's no more insulting than any impression I've ever done of you. once again, Sam, with the gold here, I like this idea.
Well, like, Golda Hamadi.
Well, I mean, every podcast starts off the same. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode blank, blank, blank of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. So if anybody wants to record that and send it in, we will start a show with it. I think that's a great idea.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. That's a great idea. Secondly, with comic books, I don't have a lot of comics that I read outside of Saga, but it has become the type of thing that I've now pre-ordered through issue 24, and we are on issue 21. So I'm deep into Saga. I love that book. I also really, really like Scott Snyder's Batman. Not so much the later stuff, but the first story arc with the Court of Owls was really, really, really good. So Scott Snyder, check out his stuff. Jesse, you are not necessarily a recent comic book guy, but I know that you, in a previous life, were pretty big into comics. What were some of your favorites back then?
Shaolin Cowboy. Geez, I'm trying to remember. Mm-hmm. There were
Now you got into Marvel Zombies. Was that for more of the Mystique or of the?
I got into Marvel Zombies because back then zombies weren't really that played out.
Right.
It was kind of like the waxing or. Wait, which one? Waxing or waning?
I think it's the waxing.
Either way, the waxing of zombie. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a good answer for this.
What about Marvel Civil War? Were you also into that?
Yeah, I was into the Civil War thing, but yeah. It got played out. They got really preachy.
Hmm.
And then I got kind of turned off of it.
Well, there's also...
And then they rebooted it, like, a month after that.
Oh. Well, there's also Image Comics. I mean, I've been kind of working through their catalog because they released all their issue ones for free on Comic Book Day. But, I mean, Images, I love them as a publisher. They do Saga. They do a lot of other good stuff. So I would use that Image banner as kind of a stamp of approval as far as comic books are concerned, if you want to get outside of the main superhero realms. Anyway, that's my two cents. Jesse, let's get to the show here.
Yeah.
So speaking of comic books, speaking of The Walking Dead, speaking of Jim and Aaron, I got to sit down with Jim just a couple of hours ago because he got to go to San Diego Comic-Con. So we wanted to get a PAXES-esque update for SDCC 2014, and here it is. We are here with none other than Jim himself. Jim, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. As good as one can be, going directly from Comic-Con to Las Vegas.
Thank you for letting me cut in on your vacation here.
No problem. I figure it's only relevant for a couple more days, right?
Yeah, well, I you didn't even let me know you're going to Comic-Con. I had to soothsay that through Facebook, so I'm very excited that you went. Was this your first time?
Yeah, it was my first time.
Wow.
I've never been.
I mean, you're a pop culture guru, so must have been a pretty exciting experience for you.
Yeah, it was crazy, as you'd expect, mm-hmm. With 130,000 or so people crammed into a convention center.
Yikes-o-rama.
There was a lot of cool stuff there. There's also, like, some things I see as problems.
Interesting.
Overall, it was really cool, though.
Now, you are, you may not be a comic, well, now you're a Comic-Con veteran, but you are a seasoned PAX veteran.
Oh, yeah. Not as many as you, but close.
But close. And you know, you've been to more PAX East than I have. How does this compare to a convention like PAX?
Oh, if you take, like, PAX Prime and you basically double it, that's
okay.
About what you get. But I feel like it's a lot easier to do things at PAX, and maybe that's just the nature of it being half the size, but I almost got to see none of Comic-Con except for the exhibit floor.
Wow.
And some of the stuff around on kind of the outskirts of the convention center. They have a lot of stuff set up outside.
What kind of events are going on? Is it just a lot of panels and they're really hard to get into? Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. There are a ton of panels. a lot of stuff in the smaller rooms that didn't seem like it would be too hard to get into. But if you want to go to anything big like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, you're basically going to have to camp out overnight. Which is something that doesn't happen at PAX, right? I mean, you can almost just walk into about anything you want at PAX.
Well, if you want to go to a big thing in the main theater, one of the big panels,
yeah,
you're going to have to wait an hour. It's going to be an hour wait time, guys.
Oh, no.
So...
A whole hour.
A whole entire hour. Maybe an hour 15 even.
Yeah, so. These people were waiting an entire day. They had sleeping bags. They had tents. They had chairs.
Wow.
They were camping out.
I caught a few of the panels of the, you know, the big ones, like Marvel and those. They seemed really awkward.
It seems like
the people who... Like, the actors know that they are contractually obligated to be there, but for the most part, are a little... You know, it just seems kind of awkward to me. It's like seeing Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas at the Ant-Man panel. Like, Michael Douglas just started, like, going into his spiel about who he was as Hank Pym in the Ant-Man movie, and it was like, yeah, we all know who Hank Pym is, Michael.
Do we? I don't.
Well, but you're talking to a Comic-Con crowd here.
Yeah, very true. Well, it's kind of like a nerd contest there, right? It's like, which celebrity can pretend to be the nerdiest so that the fans will get the best reaction from?
Exactly. So, and I have to ask about the nerd funk, because I have heard that San Diego Comic-Con has the worst nerd funk of any convention.
I can imagine why. I mean, when you're camping overnight...
Right.
And it's probably rained the night before. It's definitely hot. It was like 90 degrees, super sunny. Yeah, you're going to smell the next day in the panel. And when you cram 6,000 of those people into a room, it's pretty bad. And then they decide, you know what? I've had fun at this panel. I'm going to continue the party on the expo floor, and I'm going to bring my funk with me.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've smelled it a couple times.
I've heard that from credible sources, that from multiple sources, that Comic-Con has the worst nerd funk.
Which it was definitely worse than PAX.
Okay. Yeah, I think PAX, you know, it's there, but it's avoidable.
For sure.
Either that or everybody just assimilates into the nerd funk.
That could be it.
You can't stop the funk. All right, so we're going to go into just a quick little segment here. You know, we do the PAXies here on Personal Arrogance. We usually save those for PAX. So they're not named for PAX. They are the Personal Arrogance Exhibition Experience Awards. But we sometimes apply them to other conventions, and I'd love to run through them with you here. So we're going to start with coolest thing. Jim, what was the coolest thing that you saw at Comic-Con this year?
All right, with all these questions, you got to keep in mind that I was only able to get two days worth of passes.
Whoa.
I got Friday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I did about a third of the stuff that I actually wanted to do.
Okay.
So my coolest thing was probably the Gotham zip line. They had the city of Gotham's skyline set up outside, like right by the water, and a zip line going in front of it, and they take your picture as you were going down. It's like a 5-second ride on the zip line.
Mm-hmm.
They take your picture as you're going down, and then you got it at the end. You got a shirt, you got a badge. Like, this cool, like, metal, solid looking Gotham City Police badge. It was pretty cool.
What? And this coincides with the Gotham TV show?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That is awesome. I am super jealous.
I did the running man in my picture, and they sent me a little animated GIF of it.
That's
but
awesome.
You had to wait 2 hours in the sun to get onto it. So, you know, it's a little bit of a give and take there.
Yeah, it's basically Disneyland.
Pretty much.
That's like a Space Mountain wait time. I also saw they had like an Assassin's Creed parkour course that you could do.
Oh, man.
I saw a video of that online. I was like, dude, they need to bring that to PAX.
For sure.
That would be badass. Like, rent out a hotel ballroom and just do it in there. It had like a, it had like a 30-foot leap of faith at the end into like a giant, like, airbag.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yeah, that's pretty sweet. So what was the weirdest thing that you saw at Comic-Con?
Oh, boy. Weirdest.
Is there a lot of weird stuff?
Yeah, there's some weird stuff, for sure. I mean, I saw it, this might be borderlining on my cosplay thing as well.
Okay. We can put these two together. If this is best cosplay and weirdest thing, they can go together.
Okay. That might be it then. Okay. I saw a guy dressed up as a centaur walking the exhibit floor, and it was just really weird because, like, watching him walk, he didn't have like a two-man centaur costume. He had a one-man, so he's like dragging the legs behind him. So it was really weird, but kind of cool as well.
So they were just dragging behind him. Was it a good costume, or was it a?
It was a pretty good costume, okay. Except for the wig. The wig was terrible.
I'm imagining like when my dachshund got old, she went paralyzed on her lower half. This is terrible, she would drag her back legs around.
Oh no!
And like poop on the carpet because she didn't have any sphincter control. But that's what I'm imagining. The centaur.
So bad for your dog.
She lived a full life. She was happy. She was a happy little puppy. But that's what I'm just imagining from the centaur is my little Sophie's broken spine baby. Anyway, what was the best of show at Comic-Con this year?
Oh man, I want to say the Walking Dead season 5 preview.
Okay.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. They had a booth where you could go there and they had like a tunnel with some zombies in it and you could take your picture with it, and above they were showing on these big screens the Walking Dead season 5 preview. Big Walking Dead fan here, so seeing that new stuff got me really excited for the show.
Uh-huh.
And they had a lot more than I expected them to show of the new season.
Awesome. So, is there anything you can tease?
It's going to get crazy at Terminus, and I think Rick is probably going to win.
Hello. You heard it here first, guys. Jim. what was the biggest letdown? There's always a letdown at a con.
Maybe. So, I was not expecting to be shut out of all the panels.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the biggest letdown was not being able to get into anything that we wanted to get into.
Nothing, huh?
Yeah, because, I mean, we would have had to camp overnight, and we were not prepared to do that. And the problem is not necessarily that people are camping overnight and that it's huge. It's also that they don't clear the rooms between panels.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So people will get Hall H, and they'll just stay in Hall H the entire weekend.
Yeah, so Game of Thrones fans, if they didn't give two shits about Walking Dead,
right,
were hogging up all the room in the Walking Dead panel.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you fix that with a giant convention if clearing out rooms means, you know, they'll get one panel and they can't see two panels. Just too bad.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. That's what every other convention does.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the ferry does. You have to get off the ferry to get back on. I'm talking about the Washington State ferries.
Oh, okay.
You can't just ride the ferry all day. They make you get off. I mean, another thing they could do is like maybe have a non-movable section, but it's not premium seats, and then you could like go to the booth for whatever panel you want to go to. And I guess they don't want to have lines in the exhibition hall, but somehow if you could like acquire a ticket to an individual panel that you wanted to go to.
Huh. Yeah.
I mean, that could create a whole false economy and people would be scalping tickets and stuff, but I don't know.
The other thing they could do is the same thing that they do with the PAX concerts. And that's like put them up on TVs throughout the convention center, because that enabled me to see concerts when I either didn't feel like cramming into a room with 1,000 crazy people.
Right.
Or just couldn't get into the room because it was full.
Or they also do that like they play it in the LAN room, so you can play LAN and watch the concert at the same time.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of weird that they don't even do that. Do they live stream them? Because all the PAX panels are live streamed.
I think so. I think, see, that's the weird thing. Comic-Con feels like a fuller experience online. Like, you get more of the information that comes out in Comic-Con when you're online versus actually going to it. But granted, it's way more fun to go to it. I mean, I got to ride a zip line. That was cool.
Right. That is cool. I mean, that Gotham experience, I am super, super jealous
of. Just surf the internet and figure out everything that went on.
Yeah, I need to hit an eBay right now for one of those Gotham badges.
I got one.
We have one more category here. It's a category that's beloved with PAX, and it usually goes to a single perennial favorite for this category, and that's the Exhausted Ewok. But, Jim, who is the Comic-Con attendee of the year this year?
Attendee of the year.
Is there anybody that just stood out as, like, that is Comic-Con?
Oh, man. Nothing's coming to mind directly. I mean, Centaur guy could get it.
Centaur drag, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's really best in show, period.
All right. Sometimes they sweep. Sometimes you get weirdest thing, best cosplay. I mean, weirdest thing plus best cosplay equals attendee of the year, I think.
Okay.
In a lot of cases. So that's great, man. How would you rank you know, you're a big PAX fan. Unfortunately, you can't make it to PAX this year, and I'm very bummed about that. But you're a big PAX fan. You've gone to a lot of PAXes. If PAX is a 10, where does Comic-Con fall on the PAX scale?
I think just because of the unmanageable crowds and the poor panel management, in my opinion, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it an 8 because it is definitely a solid convention. There is tons of stuff to do, and a lot of it is super fun. Lots of really cool stuff to see. But I got to mark it 2 points down for those problems.
It's just really, it's maybe too big for its britches. There is talk of maybe moving it from San Diego up to Los Angeles to see if they can get some more space.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be good.
Do you think that the venue accommodates the con very well?
Yeah, they just need a bigger main theater is the thing. Mm. Like 6,000 seats is not enough when you have 130,000 people going to your con.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm thinking that from like a Seattle scale. Like they just had the Dota 2 championships here in Seattle. They filled up Key Arena. It's like 18,000 seats. And I wouldn't be surprised if you could fill up an arena with the Comic-Con main stage.
Yeah, so I brought this up. Petco Park is actually down the street, and that's where Nerdist was doing like Nerd HQ,
uh-huh.
which had like a bunch of cool like arcade machines set up, and were doing shows constantly, and they had some laser tag events. That was pretty cool. Didn't get to go into any of those, but you could fill up Petco Park and just have your panel there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It might be a little logistically hard because it's outdoors, but whatever, sure. Man. Petco Park, baby. Home of the Padres.
Yeah.
Any last things here? I don't want to end on a down note. It sounds like you had a great time. Any last things you want to talk about, cool touch points from Comic-Con 2014?
Yeah, I got a few more things. We went on Thursday night to an Xbox-hosted party where Aisha Tyler was recording one of her Girl on Guy podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And she was interviewing Shane West, who I hadn't really heard of before or anything. He's in some shows that I don't watch.
Is he related to Kanye West?
No, Shane West, man.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering. They have the same last name.
Okay. And I got to – it was like a hosted party, so it was an open bar. We were
nice.
Just getting free drinks, and they had a whole bunch of Xbox games set up throughout the room. And I got to play Sunset Overdrive.
Uh-huh.
Which was pretty freaking sweet.
Cool. On the Xbox One?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then
Sunset Overdrive is kind of a weird, shiny, futuristic zombie energy drink driven Orange Crush video game FPS. Is that about right?
That's exactly right. That's how they described it on their flyer.
Cool.
And another thing that was cool is Penny Arcade actually had a booth, speaking of PAX.
Hey!
So I went over there and I checked it out, and Mike was drawing things.
What?
He would just sketch something for you if you went up to him for free.
What?
So I didn't have any paper with me. That was the catch. You had to bring your own canvas.
Okay.
So I went and I bought one of their shirts, and he drew Gabe on the back of my shirt for me.
Oh, my God.
So I have this awesome Penny Arcade shirt, Comic-Con exclusive, with Gabe on the back now.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's super awesome. And then I bought a set of pins, and I traded Mike and Jerry for one of theirs, which is exclusive like to them, so you can only get it if you trade with him.
Right. Is that their characters' faces?
No. One of them had like a space helmet, and the other one was like a wrapped up in some like cocoon sort of thing.
Cool.
So I got those, and they actually said that this was probably the last Comic-Con they were going to, because it's, you know, they have their own massive convention now, and
yeah,
they don't get a whole lot of attention at Comic-Con, so it's not really worth their time to go there, being away from like their wife and kids and stuff.
That makes sense, dude. I was honestly surprised, and they're so accessible. Like, it packs their freaking celebrities. They, like, literally have entourages and bodyguards that walk around with them. And, like, you could just walk up and get a sketch from Mike. That's crazy awesome.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah. Anything else from Comic-Con 2014?
Nope, that's it.
All right, buddy. Well, have fun in Vegas. I'm going to ask you to do what Sam Gulmohammadi asked me to do, although it is a gamble. But go ahead and put 20 on red.
20 on red, okay.
And then if you win, keep it. Don't bet again. Have you done any gambling while you're there?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What's your game?
They have a Walking Dead slot machine. That's kind of been my game.
Nice. So you, no card tables? You seem like a blackjack man to me.
I am a blackjack man. They have an electronic blackjack machine.
Yeah.
Because I'm also an introvert, and I'm not super social. So sitting at an electronic table is more my speed.
Yep.
So I've been doing that.
Well, if you get the chance, I would definitely recommend Craps. It's my favorite casino game. If you can find
an electronic version of that, too.
So. All right. Well, have a great time, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Pretty good stuff, huh, Jesse?
Great stuff.
Great stuff. Jesse totally has listened to that entire interview.
Yeah. It was more of an interview than a conversation.
Definitely. So anyway... Thank you, Jim, for spending some time with us all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, the lovely land of Nevada.
Wait, why was he in Las Vegas?
So he and, well, the listeners know, he went to San Diego Comic-Con with his girlfriend, and then they decided to spend a week in Vegas. So,
a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty awesome stuff.
Jeez, bald move, money.
I told him that he had to go to the... there's like a Star Trek experience there, and like you could like go onto the bridge of the Enterprise and stuff. And like, I know Jim and Aaron are big Star Trek people, so I was like, you got to do that when you're in town.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
that's pretty sweet. They got the pyramid, the Eiffel Tower,
right? They got it all.
They got the Diageo and the Star Trek Enterprise.
I think it's the Bellagio.
I think it's Diageo.
Probably.
It's great stuff either way.
Also, Jim, early recommendation. He's staying at Caesar's Palace, which happens to be my favorite hotel on the Strip. So if you're going to Vegas, stay at Caesar's. Be a Caesar. Caesar's Palace.
Caesar for a day. Actually, turns out, historically speaking, be careful when you're being a Caesar. A lot of y'all are going to die.
Interesting thing, I've been listening to Dan Harmer's Hardcore History.
Wow. Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Yeah, the Duraggio. And and I didn't realize that, but the Kaiser from Germany, the Kaiser was...
Kaiser is Caesar.
Caesar, and same thing with the Tsar.
Tsar. And same thing with King. King comes from Caesar.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, the English, it always really messes up the words. Like, you go to Germany, and they're like, this is Deutschland. And you're like, what, Germany?
Yeah, just yeah, we've been over this with, like, Nippon.
Yeah.
Japan, yeah.
Japan?
Like, oh, welcome to Nippon. Oh, I love it here in Japan. No. Nippon. Nippon. Yeah, I got it. Japan.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to get on my boat, go tell everyone about Japan. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm publishing a book tomorrow. It's
called Japan, the land that starts with a J.
Original take conspiracy bad.
So yeah, I've been watching some Teen Mom too.
Uh huh. Guilty pleasure.
One of the Teen Mom 2 gals is pregnant again, and the name of her kid is Kaiser.
Wow.
And I was dumbfounded. I'm like, you can't name a kid Kaiser. You can't name a kid Kaiser.
What about?
That's against the rules.
So I will almost guarantee you they are not talking about a German leader. I bet you they are talking about Kaiser Soze from The Usual Suspects.
Oh, wait. Is there someone in that show?
Kaiser Soze is like the mystery character of Usual Suspects.
I could be way off base on this. Maybe it's totally okay to name a kid Kaiser.
Dude, I bet you if it is a Teen Mom, they definitely got that name from a movie.
Or I was just thinking like Kaiser Rolls.
Yeah.
They're like, these rolls are delicious. We got a bun in the oven. Let's name it a Kaiser roll.
That's very cute.
First name Kaiser, middle name roll.
Now, if you're a Teen Mom, you're either naming your kid after a fictional character from a movie or a borough of New York. That's how my cousin became named Queens. Anyway, second topic this week. Speaking of sex... it's time for us to get sexy here, Jesse.
Oh, God, we've never gotten sexy on this podcast before.
Well, this one comes to us from Al Jazeera America, probably the greatest headline I've read this week.
And is that one of the babies on Teen Mom 2?
Yeah, absolutely. Al Jazeera America does sound like a baby name from Teen Mom 2. Awesome. No, this comes to us from Al Jazeera America. It's a pretty amazing article about where we're going as a scientific species, but I also think it goes as to where we're going from a conspiratorial level as well. So, the headline reads from the science section here, Lust in Space, Russians Lose Control of Gecko Sex Satellite.
Okay, I saw that headline and somehow resisted the urge to follow up on it, so I'm very interested in this. It
says, lizards were sent into orbit as part of a study into effects of weightlessness on sexual intercourse. Russian scientists are attempting to reestablish control of a satellite.
Real quick, though.
Yeah.
We know people have been banging in space, right?
Have they?
They must.
Dude, you are constantly on webcam. I guess that doesn't stop
a
lot of people
here.
There's
a nook and or cranny of the International Space Station.
Yeah, they got a lot of free space in there.
And I'm sure at one point they're like, well, I'm just going to like put this coffee cup hovering right here, coincidentally. Oh, it's blocking the webcam. Boink. I'm sure that people are banging in space nonstop.
Well, you know, I would almost assure you that if it has happened, then it happened on the Russian side.
I feel like this is
real cosmonaut behavior.
We all know those like American astronauts are crazy too. There's that one astronaut that like wore the diapers and like drove across the country to stalk someone.
That's true. The astronaut diaper. That story needs to always continually come up into the cultural lexicon. That is literally one of the greatest, craziest things ever. That was like the moment that the 24-hour news cycle peaked when they found that story.
Hey, can you imagine the adrenaline rush of leaving orbit and seeing the beautiful blue marble down below as you float weightlessly in space, just you? And you can take off your spacesuit, and there's another, like, smart, educated, virile person right there. Of course you're going to bang. I bet.
I get overwhelmed when I see Iowa from a plane.
And Neil Armstrong banged.
Who?
I don't think they can resist the urge.
You just think that it becomes such an overwhelming experience.
In space, gender doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just such an overwhelming experience. I mean, so few people have experienced it. It's so difficult to express to anyone that once it happens, it's got to be emotionally overwhelming.
Yeah, exactly. They talk about the Kuiper belt and like the radiation and everything. The true Kuiper belt is that your belt comes off once you pass it.
Isn't the Kuiper Belt outside of our solar system?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's the ring of asteroids that go around the edge of our solar system, Jesse.
Well, there's some sort of radiation belt. Point is, people be banging up in space. We don't need a lizard satellite. All we need is a truth from the cosmonauts and astronauts.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, Jesse. Let's cover the story here, and then I have a little bit of conjecture for you. But it says Russian scientists are attempting to reestablish control of a satellite in which a team of geckos may be copulating as part of a study into the effects of weightlessness on lizard mating. On Thursday, the team behind the research confirmed that the vessel was not responding to commands, potentially leaving the reptiles to their out-of-this-world sexual intercourse while video footage continues to beam down to Earth.
Oh, so they can't get a visual.
They got a visual.
How is that not on Twitch.tv? Let's get the Pokemon nerds on this.
This is basically a Pokeball.
It is. This is what's going on inside of your Pokeball.
Yeah, exactly. This is how your Pokemon are able to evolve, in mm-hmm. quotation marks. Because
you're like, I call you Pikachu. Wait, why did Pikachu and Charmander pop out of that ball? And why is Charmander smoking a cigarette? Well, let's go, guys.
Charmander lights a cigarette with his tail.
Yeah, exactly. He does that move where he lights two and then gives one to Pikachu.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Sorry. It says, research satellite Photon M4 was launched into space on July 19th. So they've only been up there for a little bit. The geckos are among several species on board. It's like an ark, including insects and flora that are part of a series of biology experiments by Russia's Institute of Medico-Biological Problems on the effect of weightlessness on mating.
But all right, I got something to interject here.
What is it?
They talk about panspermia, right?
Right.
It was covered in Cosmos. The idea that there's bacteria and microorganisms that can survive in space and reentry.
Mm-hmm.
Through atmosphere, that there's life that's so tough that it can float around on an asteroid and then re-enter into another planet, and then life can grow from that.
Right.
What about the much more likely thing that there's just like some crazy space Russia on like some foreign planet, and they like lost control of their gecko sex satellite, and then it landed on Earth, and that's where all Earth's life comes from.
Better idea.
Yeah.
Russian space satellite loses control, drifts into a black hole, goes back in time, populates the Earth. Holy shit, what just happened? Which came first, guys?
We evolved from our own geckos that we sent into space.
Mm-hmm. We evolved from our own gecko spunk.
Wow.
Says, but a glitch has resulted in scientists losing control of the satellite's engine. Russian space firm Progress confirmed to the nation's Interfax news agency on Thursday. Progress is busily working to reestablish a connection with the operating system currently on autopilot before all hope is lost.
Oh, geez.
Scientists said they are still able to watch video footage of the mating geckos and observe how the absence of gravity affects their sexual behavior.
It's just geckos floating around and zero G's banging. What are they finding out, though?
This is really, I'm so curious, because
how could they possibly bang?
Yeah, they could bang into each other and then float
yeah,
away.
Yeah, exactly. Do they just like kind of float around and then hope that they can like grapple each other and then get it on?
I have no idea. It's so weird. It's like, I feel like it's like in the Slaughterhouse 5 movie that was produced in like the 70s. They put the main character and then this lady into like a dome the Trofmadorians do, and then they go, "Are you mating now? Are you mating now?"
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what the Russians are doing.
I never saw that movie.
Eh, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Breakfast of Champions starring one Bruce Willis.
I do not know about that movie.
It's really, really bad.
Okay. And there was no immediate word from the scientists behind the experiment on Thursday as to whether the geckos had successfully copulated as Photon M4 hurtled through space. Peace out.
Do you ever just like kind of creep along at a leisurely manner through space?
Nope. You always hurtle.
You're always hurtling.
Can
you do the hurdles in space, or is that unfair with no gravity?
Great question. The world may never know. You just do one jump and you fly over all of them. So this is what I'm going from a conspiratorial angle here. Because, okay, obviously they're looking at zero gravity on sex because they want to figure out how to put people into space, right? And this isn't...
I think they've figured out how to put people into
space.
Well,
I mean, I'm assuming for long-form space travel. The other thing about this is that, regardless of every science fiction show, we have not figured out how to put gravity onto a ship.
Right.
That is completely from the imagination of Hollywood, because it's a lot easier to shoot people on a soundstage than it is to have them float around on wires.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, any long-form space travel, you're going to be in zero-G the whole time. So
yeah.
They're trying to see, I guess, if you can be on a ship long enough where you can copulate? And then
right, this is for future generation ships that will be entirely populated by lizards.
I can't imagine being pregnant, but I can't imagine being pregnant on a spaceship and then having the baby on a spaceship. That just seems crazy to me.
Right, yeah. And that's the whole... Wow, 77% on Rotten Tomatoes, Slaughterhouse-Five, 1972. Breakfast of Champions, 1999, 26%.
Yikes.
Yeah. I can't even imagine existing... Because the idea of, like, these generation ships, like, something
right.
that's going to take us to Alpha Centauri, right?
Yep.
So it's going to take, like, 20 generations at the speed of light.
Right.
So can you even imagine human existence where you never experience gravity your entire life?
You would think people would atrophy. Like,
right,
your bones
but, you know,
stop
humans,
working.
We're on top because we're the baddest evolvers, you know? We're the most adaptable to change.
Well, there you go, I guess.
I mean, baddest in, like, we're bad mofos.
You'd have to make some kind of protein shake. The other aspect here, so we've got the procreation part of this experiment, but the other part about this is lizards. So I'm thinking totally New World Order, lizard people trying to figure out how they can exit the planet.
Oh, this is their exit strategy.
Lizard man exit strategy.
The lizard man thing has been... That's one of the weirdest conspiracies.
So weird. I do not understand
the lizard people conspiracy.
No, I don't get it. Like, I get... Like, whatever, man. Like, I feel like if you could tie it to a world event, there's a huge conspiracy around, the moon landing or a JFK assassination or 9/11. But actually just being like, people are lizard people. And they are controlling the world. That's where it's like, what? Where? What? I mean, I'm not saying that all conspiracy theories hold water. I'm just saying that there's some that are so outlandish. It's like, maybe you don't talk about those parts of it.
Yeah. Reptilians, also called reptoids, reptilioids, or draconians, are purported reptilian humanoids that play a prominent role in science fiction as well as modern ufology and conspiracy theories. The idea of reptilians on Earth was popularized by David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
His name is I-C-K-E.
I believe that's
Icke. A conspiracy theorist who claims shape-shifting reptilian aliens control Earth by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate our societies.
Mm-hmm.
Icke has claimed on multiple occasions that the world leaders are... or are possessed by reptilians ruling the world.
Yeah. Like, there's a big theory that Dick Cheney's a reptilian.
Well, he has no heartbeat.
Well, he's cold-blooded.
Yeah. Check it and see. Got a...
So, my favorite thing...
Got a temperature of whatever the room might be.
I will say one of my favorite things to do, especially late night after a couple of beers, is start watching conspiracy theory YouTube videos.
You like doing that? Makes me so mad.
It makes me whatever. Sometimes you like to go down the rabbit hole, and like I said, I don't believe any of this stuff. But the people who do are fascinating to me, and the ones that I love are there are ones online. You could just YouTube these. It's like proof reptilian people exist.
Well, that was the other. I typed this into Google, and it was, I typed in lizard people. One came up conspiracy, and the other one came up proof.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there's a lot of videos.
So, there's videos.
Why am I looking at Osama bin Laden right now?
Yeah, well, because people don't understand video compression. As somebody who's worked in video for a very long time, people will always post this stuff, and they'll be like, what's it called? It's not like residue. It's, I can't remember what it's called. Artifacting. So there's artifacting, it happens, especially when you compress video, where like the video will freeze for like a second.
Uh-huh. And then, obviously, that's where they spliced.
Yeah.
Where it got spliced.
No, people will actually say that, like, this. Watch this person's face start melting during this new live news broadcast. And it's like, no, that's just artifacting in the video render. Like, it's just hilarious to me, like, the things that people latch on to.
I think that the Personal Arrogance podcast has been taken over by lizard reptilians in the form of Eric Walquist, Lizard Man.
Oh, you do find my website?
Yeah, that was it. Eric Walquist, lizardman.com.
Yeah, lizardman.net.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't get .com? That was taken?
Well, the net was a better deal, and it also works better. People don't understand. .net websites are associated with the lizard people because we build large nets that we catch flies in order to eat.
See, I don't think that lizards do that.
Hmm.
I think that's more of like a spider thing.
Well, I would know.
Okay, that's true. You would be there.
Regardless.
I apologize.
Regardless, this is all just a conspiracy for the Lizard Man trip to Alpha Centauri. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. You can't keep your net just to Earth. You have to cast it across the whole universe.
And that's proof.
Lizard Men.
That's proof. All right, let's. Speaking of facts, let's move on to trivia. We're going to be doing Genius Water Trivial Pursuit this week. Going to be rolling the six-sided die to see which category we do. I rolled a six. It's sports and leisure, baby.
I'm feeling very leisurely right now.
Okay, and people are blowing up our Facebook feed right now. Maybe I shouldn't have that open during the show. I always wonder about that. If people are listening to it on like their laptops and they're like, oh, did I get a Facebook message? Because those little boop boop is always happening throughout the show.
Yeah, you don't want to give them a false positive on that.
No. The endorphin rush is quick and sweet. Jesse, this question's for you. What blood sport originated the word crestfallen?
Cockfighting?
I'm going to go jousting. Oh my god, you got it. Cockfighting.
Yeah.
How did you get that? 4-H? Is that a 4-H callback?
No. There's no cockfighting in 4-H. Because it's like I feel like the chickens, like the feathers off the top of their head is called the crest, right?
That's something the 4-H kid could tell me.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe it was 4-H. Yeah. It's some residual 4-H artifacts.
4-H is, by the way, I saw this on a conspiracy theory video, 4-H is actually a front for a cockfighting ring run by lizard people.
Oh, yeah. Well, the cat's out of the bag now.
The cock's out of the bag. This question's for me. What distance is the Kentucky Derby run at? I'm going to go with a mile and a half.
I'm going to say 1,000 meters.
Oh, 1.25 miles.
Ooh.
I believe that I was still geographically closer to that answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must make you crestfallen.
All right, Jesse, this question's for you. What basketball player was known as the Big O?
Jesse was a great answer, though. That makes total sense. I'm going to say Shaquille O'Neal.
Like the family crest?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, it makes total sense.
You're saying Shaquille O'Neal, huh?
I guess. I mean, he's big. He has an O.
I'm going to say Othello Williams? I don't know. Oscar Robinson. I should know that if I didn't completely give up on the NBA after they gave up on me. Jessica, this question's for me. I needed to tie. What stadium did Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King battle it out in? I'm going to go with Madison. I'm going to go with Cowboys Stadium.
Madison Square Garden is what I was thinking.
Oh, the Houston Astrodome.
Oh, Rob Zip Zone.
Also geographically closer. Just want to get that on the record. It is, yeah. The crazy thing about the Astrodome is that it's still standing.
It's full of rats.
And it's full of rats.
I found out about that on the Rob Zip and Friends podcast.
It's crazy. There's like the Astrodome is still standing. The Silver Dome, the Pontiac Silver Dome is still standing in Detroit because apparently somebody bought the Silver Dome and then they were like, we're going to turn this into a soccer stadium. And then they completely ran out of money because it's a terrible idea. So it's still standing too, but it doesn't have a roof.
Right.
And then also the Olympic Stadium in Montreal still standing. That's where they shot part of the zombie movie. God, what was that zombie movie called? It's like a zombie love story. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, stadium still standing. In Seattle, we blow up our stadiums when we're done with them.
Implosion.
We level them to the ground and we build something else on top. Build another stadium on top of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and before that, we tear down all the low-rent domiciles. It's called gentrification, motherfucker. Get used to it.
God.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
All right, for our next topic, we are going to none other than Mr. James Patterson, our bracket master. Or, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to say his name like Sean Connery. James Patterson.
See, that sounded just like Michael Caine.
It is. James Patterson. Oh, you have to, like, go into it here. Bond. James Bond. 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 Yeah, he's got a little bit of James Patterson.
Bond. James Patterson.
James. Should I? I've been doing the glottal T. Should I do a front T? James Patterson. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Connery's a frontal T. Sorry. Michael Caine is a glottal T. Speaking of glottal Ts, James Patterson sent us a great bracket, and it's a little bit of a nostalgic bracket, and that's why I love it so much. This is the top PA episode title Tournament of Death. So, Jesse, we're going to go through this bracket. We're going to pick the best Personal Arrogance episode titles until the listeners can pick our final. And the interesting thing about this is that I still feel like it was just yesterday we started naming these things.
But it was like 150 episodes ago.
It was plus 175 plus. It was episode 25.
I can't fucking believe that.
Like we began by just naming episodes. Episode
Doesn't
1, episode 2.
Doesn't it feel
2.
Like it's been about 50-50 unnamed episodes, named episodes?
Yeah. Like this will always be, and I remember the one first time you're like, dude, we should name the episode. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if we should. And,
then you were confused because you thought like we would name the episode first and then make the episode about that.
Right.
And I was like, no, let's just do it after.
This is when we were like going to each other's apartments and recording.
Back each in other's apartment. It's nice of you to pretend that I ever had an apartment.
You had a house apartment.
Yeah. I lived in slums.
You lived in fun zones. That's what I call them.
Yeah. I call them funds, not slums.
And coincidentally, they were all knocked down to build stadiums.
Exactly.
All right.
The Seattle Thunderbirds will be playing at my old house.
All right. So Jesse, this is the bracket. Let's go through it here. Episode 42, Bathe My Ape in Your Milky Way. Classic Kanye West lyric versus.
Yeah, that was back when we were both jamming on Kanye pretty hard.
It's true.
And I feel like he took a harsh turn.
He did.
Into becoming a Canada Goose and two, a total weirdo.
I couldn't say it better myself. and then that's versus episode 109, Edward Norton as a Muppet Baby.
I don't have any recollection of what that could possibly mean.
I believe that was my description of you.
You know, it's apropos because I just cut my beard off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in, like, baby face mode right now. I could be Edward Norton as a Muppet Baby right now.
That's true. Okay, so this is a tough matchup. Which one are you going with?
Well, just because I coincidentally cut my beard off.
Yeah.
Edward Norton as a Muppet Baby.
I'm leaning that way, too. That one's going to win here. Up next, we have episode 202, Munchatacious Situation. A rookie, but a strong rookie. Versus episode 142, Law and Swarder. I think this has got to be Munchatacious Situation.
I love Law and Swarder so much.
Do you remember what the context was for that?
I have no idea, which is what makes it so much better. Law and Swarder.
It's so interesting. I was reading a piece, and by a piece I mean a post by an anonymous person on Reddit, talking about chivalry. And how basically the laws of chivalry were all about battle.
Yeah.
And so when you say, you know, chivalry is dead, it's like, well, yeah, we don't just, like, fight each other all the time in, like, duels to the death.
Yeah.
But basically, this is what chivalry was Law and Swarder.
It really is.
Yeah.
I remember watching this documentary about medieval combat, and like they would write like manuals about how to fight. It was like old school MMA basically, but they were written like almost from like a first person perspective, like theoretically, like, you overextended your arm, so now I'm going to take my sword down or my shield on it and break your elbow,
right?
But one of them was like thank you for stepping too far forward, because now I can attack your genitals.
What?
And it, like, used the word thank you. It's like, thank you, opponent, for exposing your genitals for a downward longsword attack.
Yikes.
So it's pretty cool. My vote is for Law and Swarder.
All right, we'll go Law and Swarder. I like it. Much station situation is strong, though.
Did we? I feel like we forgot to read that email from the guy talking about how that's...
We might have. No, I think we mentioned it. We definitely mentioned it. That was from Rollo Tomasi, I believe.
Was it Rollo?
I think so.
Okay.
I hope so.
Someone wrote us a great email about how Munchatacious Situation has entered the vernacular.
Yeah, I think that was Rollo. But we got it. Number 58, Cerebral Ballsy. Which I love.
I feel bad about that one.
Well, it's bad in the context with the cerebral palsy, which is a devastating disease. Nobody is saying that is not a terrible, terrible thing to happen to a person. But it's also, if you are very ballsy at an intellectual level, cerebral palsy. And then, secondly, we have Lawful Good is Totally Copstache, in which we were creating an RPG in which your character class is your mustache.
Yeah, that's really good. And also, just apropos of nothing and coincidentally,
yep.
I was reading in the player's handbook their descriptions of all the alignments that a character can have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty interesting. My vote is Cerebral Ballsy. What do you think?
I'm with Cerebral Ballsy on that as well.
Okay.
I felt happy when I said that. That was episode 58. That was way back machine. Speaking of episodes in the 50s, we have 53, Pterodactyl Terrorists, spelled Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl. That would be the best name ever.
Pterodactyl?
Pterodactyl.
It's like P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
Except it's P.T. Aerodactyl. I love that, actually. So this is a great, because it's Pterodactyl Terrorist versus Kamikaze Dolphin Bombs.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we already just talked ourselves in the Pterodactyl Terrorists.
Yeah, just on the merits of P.T. Aerodactyl, attorney at law.
And he's a pterodactyl. Okay, episode 75, Semen Demon, versus episode 119, The Sharks Aren't That Bad. These are both about bodily fluids.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you coming at?
I don't know. I don't really love either.
Well, I'm going to give it to Sharts because you always talk about Sharts.
That's true. Well, okay.
It's a common joke for
you. Have you been watching
you.
Comedy Central lately?
No. Lots of shart jokes?
Well, no. I was watching Comedy Central and out of nowhere, there's like a commercial of a guy running through like the streets in a city, and then he just like slams the door as he's going into a bathroom, and then the text says "Shart Week."
The week totally came up with Shart Week.
Yeah, they're doing Shart Week on Comedy Central. Well, so sharts are in right now.
Sharts are in. Sharts are in.
Ironically, they're in.
All right,
they should
next
be out.
Episode 72, John Candy Cannon. Which I think that Mr. James Patterson thought the John Candy Cannon was about a cannon with John Candy in it. It's about the canon of his work. Versus episode 131, episode 130, part 2, episode 131. Which I like that one.
I get too much of a kick out of that. That's really funny to me.
Okay, good. Coming up next, 144, a pentagon of caffeine waffles. 144, a pentagon of caffeine waffles versus 126, flick stick or nom. Jesus, that was episode 126 was flick stick or nom? That's when I started riding the bus. That was so long ago. I feel like I just started riding the bus. Anyway.
Time compresses with age.
Where are you going? You going with the Eggos or you going with the boogers?
I don't have a strong candidate on this one.
I feel like Eggos beats it out and ekes out the victory here.
Okay.
Episode 117, you be a Chilean miner, I'll be a Somali pirate. We were talking about Halloween costumes, topical ones for that time. Episode 134, thank God it's Fight Club. I think miners and pirates win that one, huh?
I kind of like thank God it's Fight Club, but I'll give it to the miners and pirates. Oh, man.
You really like it. You burp liked it.
Yeah, sorry. I'm getting loaded.
Okay, cool. So, up next, now we're the quarterfinals. It's Edward Norton as a Muppet Baby versus Law and Swarter. I think Law and Swarter.
Law and Swarter.
Up next, we got Cerebral Ballsy versus Pterodactyl Terrorist. Pterodactyl Terrorist is coming on strong here. Up next, we got The Sharts Aren't That Bad versus Episode 131, Episode 130, Part 2, Episode 131. I think that one gets it.
Yeah.
And then we got the Pentagon versus Chilean Miners. That one's definitely going Chilean Miners.
Chilean Miners, yeah.
Okay, so now we get the semifinals here.
Favorites.
Here we go. So, this is Law and Swarter versus Pterodactyl Terrorists.
Oh, man. It's tough.
Yeah.
My heart says Law and Swarter.
I'm leaning Law and Swarter.
Law and Swarter wins it.
All right. Chivalry is alive. Law and Swarter. Versus Episode 131, Episode 130, Part 2, Episode 131, versus You'll Be a Chilean Miner, I'll Be a Somali Pirate.
It's Episode 131, Part 2, Episode 1, whatever
episode
it is.
Episode 131, Episode 130, Part 2, Episode 131. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is your bracket. Law and Swarter versus Episode 131, Episode 130, Part 2, Episode 131. Let us know on Facebook what is the champion. I will post a thread for it, and we will get to that next week. Get off my bracket, James Patterson.
Thank you, James Patterson. You.
Speaking of James Patterson, we got plenty of Facebook Roundup topics, and that's what we're talking about next. Each week we post on our Personal Arrogance Facebook page that we are talking, and if you tell us what to talk about, we will talk about it, and this is the Facebook Roundup where we talk about it. Rolla Tomasi says, favorite import beer. Jesse, what do you got?
Oh, shit. Sapporo. I like Sapporos.
Nice.
Get off my back about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dos Equis. So get off my back about that. Dos Equis Amber. It's a standby.
There you go.
James Patterson says, sitting or standing? I'm going to go sitting.
Sitting, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Okay, so I listen to a lot of Allison Rosen podcasts.
Yeah.
On Thursdays, this has been a very lucrative podcast. Topic for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't understand how you can stand up when you're wiping your butt. Your cheeks clench.
Stand up all the way?
You can't stand.
No way.
You have to sit.
You hover.
Yeah. Wait, you?
No, I don't. I do the lean. This is getting exactly. really personal. Lean. This
you
is getting personal.
You list.
I don't know, man. All I'm saying is I've been in a lot of bathrooms. Some people stand up, turn around based on shoes.
What?
That always freaks me out.
What?
They're done. They stand up. They turn around and face
and
the toilet
wipe?
And wipe. I'm assuming they're wiping. They're doing something.
Are you sure they're not just like doing like a pee-poo-pee?
No way. You pee at the beginning. This is at the end.
But sometimes you gotta do the pee-poo-pee.
No, I don't do that.
Does anyone do the pee-poo-pee out there? Let me...
I think it's time to move on.
Okay. But fold. It's the end.
Oh, crumple or fold. So this is about toilet paper. I thought you were talking about clothes. I was like, crumple your underwear, fold the rest of your clothes. That's where
crumple is wasteful. You gotta fold.
Crumple or fold? I'm a crumpler.
You crumple?
I'm a crumpler.
That's a waste of supplies.
I'm just saying I want as much provisions between my hands and what in the business end as possible. Crumpling enables the dome of freedom or whatever it's called.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying, like, when it comes to, like, I only need to burn through, like, 2-3 plies per wipe.
Well.
How many are you doing when you crumple it?
I'm the fucking Defense Department, dude. I don't care how much it takes.
Oh, man, what a waste. And the great thing about folding, too, is, like, while you're doing your business, you can fold up, like, 3 or 4 of them.
Just, dude, multitasking? Come on.
Yeah, no, exactly. Just, you rest them on your thigh right there. You're like, I'm ready to go.
Wow. I am a marathon. You are a sprinter, apparently.
I think I might be the definition of anal retentive.
Okay, let's get away from this.
Okay.
James follows it up with what from Comic-Con has gotten you excited? I'm excited for the sci-fi show Ascension. It has the exact same premise that Aaron talked about on their first PA guest episode. This is really cool. I watched the preview for this show. It's basically what we were just talking about in terms of...
Okay, can you clarify this for me?
Yeah. It's Ascension?
Yeah, I mean... Aaron talked about.
Oh, yeah. So on the show, they're basically talking about living spaceships. So we're talking about the ships that go
the
to
the generation
Alpha.
Ships, yes. Where everyone's super evolved and knows to fold.
Yeah. So this is
no crumpling in space.
This is about a generation ship, but it was launched in like the 1960s. So it's like Mad Men meets a generation ship because they didn't have any cultural progression through that time. So it's basically the 1960s on a generation ship.
You know what's interesting about this idea?
What?
All right, I'm just going to throw this out there. Generation ship travel. Let's say that we know Earth is fucked. We launch a ship right now and send it to Alpha Centauri.
We do that.
But Earth like survives another 20 years and has all that advancement and progression, and we make a bigger, faster, better ship, and then send
off. Oh. And then they land, and then like 20 years later, the advanced ship lands?
Well, no, the advanced ship, which is going so much faster, lands first, and then the ship that launched 20 years prior with their different social and everything, that lands later. So, like, now people are colonizing this new planet, and they're, like, feeling they're all super cool and advanced, but people are coming back with different societies, you know, landing later.
It's like there's an inherent class system.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, you landed. You're the primitive people from 2012. We're the advanced people from 2034.
This is a really good idea, Jesse. I like this idea a lot.
And that, and you could even like extrapolate that into like 6 or 7 of these ships.
Yeah. And then, at the end of season 1, another ship lands.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. That's a good idea, man. I like that idea a lot. Lydia, not my wife, another Lydia, says, movie, scene, actor, switch, substitute.
Oh, I do want to say, sorry.
Oh.
Let's go back to James Patterson.
Yes.
I really like the Mad Max trailer that you linked.
Dude, Mad Max trailer looks good.
It looks really good.
Yeah, I'm excited. Lydia, not, like I said, not Lydia, my wife, and a different Lydia says, movie, scene, actor, switch, substitute any character from any movie scene with someone else that you think would be funny. For example, that scene in Return of the King where Smeagol is fighting with Daigle, for the One Ring. I would take out Daigle and replace him with Riddick Seems pretty funny to me. Get off my back. What would yours be?
I'm going to take Obi-Wan Kenobi off of the Death Star in Episode 4.
Right.
And replace him with Magneto.
Love it.
Magneto would be unstoppable on the Death Star.
This is the interesting thing with Magneto is that if... Oh, yeah, because he would be able to lock up Darth Vader's arms.
Darth Vader? Totally screwed.
Yeah.
Plus, Death Star? Not 100% sure that's not made from, like, some sort of high-tech plastic alloy, but right. I think it's made of metal.
Totally. He'd be shipping that ship around the solar system single-handedly. Yeah.
Exactly. You can just fly it around.
He's like, what planet are you from? Let's go there.
Tatooine? Boom. Oop, Luke's dead. Anyway. Wait, Luke's with me on this Death Star. Sorry about your everyone.
See, I was thinking that final scene with Obi-Wan, lightsaber battle with Darth Vader, except you replace Obi-Wan with the dude from Office Space with the stapler. And all he really wanted was a stapler. That's why he's the one who sold the Death Star plans out to the rebels.
Love it.
Slipped him under the door.
Magneto in Star Wars universe is unfucking stoppable.
Yeah.
Basically. Imagine he has like a billion lights. He could just go around like getting all the lightsabers.
Yeah.
And then he could just have like a sphere of lightsabers. You could do anything.
I don't know. That is a major question, is what is stronger, the Force or Magneto's magnetic power?
Magneto, certainly.
I don't know. I don't know. That sounds like a great nerd debate question.
I think they're separate but equal.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, Darth Vader would be screwed because Magneto would be able to control his body. But I'm talking Obi-Wan, or Yoda, like, who would be able to control a lightsaber between those two sucking it toward their hands?
Ooh, yeah. You know, that's a really good, really good question.
Yeah. Well, let's table it for now.
Okay.
We got up next, we got Tony says, how's it going for you? Going pretty good, Tony. Thanks for asking. Josh says, your thoughts on manscaping. I feel like we've covered this before.
Have we?
Shave, trim, or let nature run its course.
Trimmer. Gotta trim the hedge.
Gotta trim the hedge. I'm just saying keep it neat.
Yeah, exactly.
Just keep it neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up next, we got Chris says, did you see the test footage for the Deadpool movie? If so, what did you think? What are your overall thoughts on Deadpool in general? I feel like a Deadpool movie would be really good in, like, 1996. But I feel like it's really tough to make a Deadpool movie and then slap... I guess it would be made by Fox. I think Fox still owns Deadpool.
Really?
Slap a Marvel... I feel like... Blade, you can make an R-rated Marvel movie with Blade, but I really don't think we live in a world right now where you can create an R-rated Marvel movie, and especially with a character that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, this is the great experiment with Guardians of the Galaxy coming out this Friday, is can Marvel capitalize on a property just by sticking the Marvel sticker on it? For a lot of people, Deadpool is just going to be sticking a Marvel sticker on a movie. And if you're used to bringing your kid to that movie, Deadpool, first of all, has to be rated R in order for it to be good. And second of all, I don't know if it can weather that storm. Marvel is a family brand at this point. I don't know if Marvel can do a Deadpool movie correctly.
I think you can get away with a PG-13 Deadpool.
Really?
I think you can.
Hmm.
I mean, the comics aren't like super graphic or anything. They're just super tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, but it's a dude who chops people's heads off with samurai swords.
Yeah, Wolverine does the same thing.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
With his bone blades.
What am I talking about? We live in America. You could have as much violence as you want.
Deadpool, yeah, thankfully. Until Obama takes that one away. Deadpool is just more about, like, tongue-in-cheek, like, making fun of it. And I think, I mean... Maybe we're primed for, like, a Marvel movie making fun of Marvel movies.
Yeah, I could see that. And apparently there's a lot of comedic elements coming out in Guardians of the Galaxy, so maybe that'll kind of open the door for that almost parody thing. The other thing about this is that it has to live in its own universe. I don't want to see Deadpool in the Avengers. It needs to be kind of a commentary on this decade of superhero movies.
Yeah. You could do like some sort of Deadpool cameo in the Avengers that's making fun of the Avengers.
Right.
So that, you know.
I think it'd be better to do an Avengers cameo in Deadpool. So it's like, he's in New York, and he like looks over his shoulder, and then like one of those giant robot dragon things flies through with the Hulk on its back, and he's like, oh, God. Like, his, you know, he makes some kind of snide comment. I don't write Deadpool, obviously.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Love it.
What up we got? But I did really like the test footage, by the way. What else we got? We got Titus says, at what point can you unfriend someone from Facebook? I don't want to unfriend them in real life. I just don't want to see their stupid posts.
Well, that's what the, there's like the, unfollow. Don't tell me what these people are doing.
Yeah, it's the unfollow button. If you really don't want to, but I'm at the point now where, I don't need to be friends with everybody who I went to high school with on Facebook. If anybody puts anything offensive to me on Facebook personally, I just, it's a done. It's a done deal. Also,
I don't have that problem because I don't get offended anymore.
Well, it's, and I don't mean offended. I'm just talking about from a personal perspective. If somebody puts something overly political or.
That humors me. I love it. I don't troll or anything. I just look at it and I'm like, yay.
See, I just get rid of it.
I'm okay with it.
Well, you are more.
But at what point can you unfriend someone? I've unfriended people for commenting on every fucking thing that I do with something like weird and sarcastic and negative, Mike Walker. when it's like you can't even say, I had a pretty good lunch. And they're going to be like, oh, well, you think your lunch was good? Kids are dead in Gaza right now. You know, like,
yeah,
that's when you can unfriend them. It's like, I don't care what you post, but when you start, like, bringing your shitty attitude into my interaction with the Facebook, that's when you're gone.
Yeah, not to mention, it's like, okay, my mom posted on that, and then you posted that, which means now my mom read that.
Yeah, exactly. So now my mom got a notification about you being a butthole.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, rapid fire here. Sonia says, cool stuff, and she linked to an article here from IO9, for fun and science, the biology, ecology, and geology of tattooing. I'm going to put this in PA Topics. This looks really good. James, again, says, Comedy Central is drunk history. Personal Arrogance needs a drunk JR. Best JR ever. And then JR commented, thanks, buddy. Blues Brewfest coming in 2 weeks. I'll see what I could do. JR from Philly, please send us more drunk dials. We love him. It's a religious experience for him. Nick says, Jesse's Rant Corner, a small segment where he could go off about something and not feel bad about it. Also, FTL.
Yeah. No, I will always feel bad about it.
Oh, you don't.
That's just how my brain works.
People love it.
I'd still feel bad.
Also, FTL, if people should check it out on Bald Move, there's Jim and Aaron have a couple of videos up of them playing FTL for like
fun.
2 hours. Joe says, can't make it to Seattle this PAX. Can Eric wear a hat cam or Google Glass during the HP Pubcraft Love Crawl? Unfortunately, I'm not going to do that, but we will be documenting the event with video. So stay tuned for that. Zach says, best fantasy football team names. I go with Putin It on the Blitz. with a Photoshop picture of a shirtless Putin.
Not Putin It on... Putin on the Blitz.
Putin on the Blitz. I like that a lot.
Is that like... Bum, 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 yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
It's like the Young Frankenstein. Putin on the Blitz.
Ah!
I always go with Edgar Allan Poe. That's my perennial favorite. With a picture... I have a picture of Edgar Allan Poe wearing a baseball cap that says Poe on it.
So. I go with Saskatchewan Sea Dragons.
Yeah.
Because I play the original game of fantasy football.
That's true. Blood Bowl. Mitch says, oh, and speaking of which, Zach, keep your eyes peeled, guys. The Personal Arrogance Fantasy Football League will be opening up between this podcast and the next one. So keep your eyes peeled to the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. Mitch says, if you had to fight someone only using a creature from the sea as a weapon, one you could actually hold, what would you use and why? I would be.
You said this before, right? Has this come up?
I would use some kind of poison resistant glove but I would hold a lionfish.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the inherent poison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I could hold a sperm whale. I'm not saying I could lift a sperm whale, but I could hold it.
You could hold its fin.
I'm going to say narwhal.
I like it. I mean, you could go...
It's basically a sword.
You could go like Marlin. That'd be a little more ungamely. Or gamely.
Ungamely, indeed.
Gamely? More gang? Gang?
I don't know what you're even trying to say.
Lassa says, favorite tomato... Or favorite tomato... Favorite tomato movies ranked in order and why? No, favorite Tarantino movies ranked in order and why? Jesse, I'll take this one if you don't mind.
Reservoir Dogs, number one.
So I'm gonna go with Inglourious Basterds, number one. Reservoir Dogs, number two. Pulp Fiction, number three. Jackie Brown, number four. Death Proof, number five. Kill Bill 1 and 2, 6 and 7, and then Django Unchained 8.
I like Veggie Tales.
Yep, I like Veggie. I like fried green
and
tomatoes.
And I like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I'm putting fried green tomatoes ahead of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Okay. Then fried green tomatoes. Then yep. That giant tomato fight they do in Spain every year.
Exactly.
Just YouTube videos of that.
And then finally, Angela says, guys, I'm always missing the Facebook Roundup. I feel so left out. Well, you didn't miss it this time, but you didn't put any content in. So next time, put something in there, Angela. We love you so much. Go Texas. That's our Facebook roundup this week. Before we wrap up the show, I want to tell you about BaldMove.com, guys. BaldMove.com is where you can find us and a slew of other great podcasts. Right now, there's a True Blood podcast up there. There's the Leftovers podcast going on. From HBO's The Leftovers. There's Up Yours Downstairs. There's Orange is the New Cast, which is the Orange is the New Black podcast. There, of course, is the Because Show, The Lovely Women down in Southern California. If you liked our sexy talk, they have a lot more sexy talk, and it's a lot more sexy. So check that one out.
It's a lot more sexy,
lot
for
more
sure.
Sexy, than Space Geckos. And then finally, we are on there as well. So check out BaldMove.com.
How does the Geico Gecko feel about this, is my question.
I don't know.
You can do a Cockney accent.
Oh, God, putting me on the spot here. I feel like he'd be like, I'm feeling randy.
Okay, Geico Gecko. So there's a lost satellite full of sexy space geckos. How do you feel about that?
Well, to begin with, I don't think that geckos should be on spaceships.
Okay, why do you feel that way?
Because we can't have sex. I could have told people that.
Oh, okay, but do you think that needs to be insured, like a satellite full of space sex geckos?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know everybody already knows this, but if you are insuring your space gecko shuttle, we can save you 15% or more on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See, I don't think that qualifies as a car.
Well, it's a motor vehicle, and we insure RVs, boats, motorcycles. All right, let's stop this. If you want to get in touch with Personal Arrogance, you can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. Send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @personalpodcast. We are on Facebook at the Personal Arrogance Facebook page and the Bald Move Facebook page. Like us, love us, follow us, tweet at us, and send us your voice so we can put it on the show. Jesse, let's do recos. What's your first reco this week?
Oh, man. Just for my man, Angela Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Go Texas Rangers.
Oh,
they're like the best. They're the best baseball team.
You do realize they are in last place many a game
behind. For now,
the
there's
Seattle
still
Mariners
like right 740 games left in the season.
All right, my first reco this week is once again going to be the board game Quantum. Cannot say how much I like this game, Jesse. I can't wait to play it with you coming up at PAX. So. So we're going to be doing that.
Sick.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend one I know you like, Eric, because I saw your Facebook status update. Couldn't agree with you more. Nathan For You.
Nathan For You, dude. I really do think this is the funniest show on television right now.
It's super duper funny.
I laughed my ass off. Uncontrollably, like, laughing out loud. Yeah. And when was the last time you did that at an actual television show?
Here's the thing. I've been watching that show since season one, and I just sit there and I giggle the entire time.
Yeah.
And my wife likes the show, but she doesn't like it on the same level that I like it. So she kind of laughs at me while I sit there like some sort of stoned hyena.
Yeah.
But then I saw your status update where you talked about how you laughed the entire time it's on. I'm like, this is why we're BFFs.
Exactly, dude.
This is why.
The whole lie detector mechanic episode was ridiculous. And then the exorcist real estate agent?
Okay, have you seen the one about where they take the hike for the gas rebate?
Yes.
The guy admits to drinking his grandson's pee-pee.
This is the thing, I don't know what's real and what's not, but it's
apparently
all good.
I saw Nathan Fielder's AMA on Reddit, and he's swearing up and down that it's real, and the guy just started talking about drinking his grandson's pee-pee. Like, all of that was organic and real.
It's the craziest show, dude. Yeah. I love this show. It's hilarious.
It is for you.
And I'm going to follow it up with a show, with another hilarious show that was actually canceled. But if you have HBO Go, you can watch it. It's called Family Tree. It stars Chris O'Dowd, and it's directed by Christopher Guest of Best in Show fame. So basically, it's a great improvised show about a kooky little British family. And Lydia and I have been watching it, and it is a delight. We love it a lot.
Sick.
So. Family Tree, guys. Thanks so much for listening this week. Thanks again to Jim for calling and telling us about Comic-Con.
Yeah, really, really good interview.
Really
loved
great
it.
Interview. And then finally, guys, remember that until next time, wherever you go.
Whatever you do.
Please stay
arrogant, James arrogant. Patterson.
Mm-hmm.